There's three words found in verse 5, and I'm going to read a portion of chapter 19, but I want you to think on these words. Behold the man. Behold the man. Jesus was on trial, and we take our reading up with verse 1 of chapter 19. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again, saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. So that was two different times that Pilate made mention that there was no fault found in Jesus. But they weren't satisfied with that. We take up reading in verse 7, and the Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again to the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Notice those questions. Notice the questions that he says, Look, I can put you to death. But in reality, Jesus was choosing to die. He was choosing to die. And Jesus answered, Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivereth me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. There's that peer pressure that people deal with. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew term, Gabbatha. And it was, well, and then I'll stop reading right there for just a minute. Pilate had the choice, and Pilate had the opportunity to set Jesus free. But due to the pressures of those religious leaders, and it even made mention that he was afraid, but due to those religious leaders and that pressure that he was under, he caved in. And I think of the individuals that are in eternity now without God because they caved in under the pressure of someone else. You know, the most important thing in your life is not who is your best friend. It is not what your bloodline is. It is not where you live. But the most important thing is knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Amen. That is the most important thing in your life. And Pilate had the opportunity. Verse 14 says, And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. And notice their response. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. And Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? And the chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Jesus was on trial. Behold the man. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. And Lord, we just want to thank you for how good you've been to us. And how many times we fall short and we come up short. But Lord, we know that it's all about you. And it's all about the decision that we make in our life on whether we receive you or reject you. Help us, Lord, tonight to evaluate where we are spiritually. Help us to evaluate our life. And Lord, if there's someone that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior that continues to reject, Lord, I pray tonight that you will speak to that heart and cause them to realize that they need to be saved. Help me, we pray tonight. For it's in Jesus' name, amen. I will make mention that I appreciate those that still continue to watch online and the good comments and just encouragement from those that continue to listen. And of course, we always want to recognize those individuals as well. If I get back to the message, it says, Behold the man. Who is this Jesus? Who is it, Jesus, that we come and that we worship and that we spend time with on these services that the doors are open? Psalm 19, verse 1 through 3 says, The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Now you look at creation and you see all around us. And for anyone who, you know, if you take, you know, this is getting to be the fall time of the year and leaves are falling and leaves are starting to turn, and we've seen some pictures up in the mountains and we see the different trees and how pretty they are. And you just look out and you see the hand of God. And we as Christians, we say to ourselves, well, how in the world can someone not believe there's God, there's a God? How can someone not believe in Jesus Christ? And there's evidence everywhere. But we have to stop for just a moment. And we have to remember the time that we rejected Christ. Because I can tell you honestly tonight, the first time that I heard the gospel and the first time that I heard about Jesus Christ, I didn't receive Him then. The seed was being planted. And I heard preaching, and I heard lessons, and I heard about our Lord, and I had a Bible, and my dad would pray, and so I was all around it, but that didn't make me saved. But what made me saved was that moment in time that I realized exactly who Jesus was. That's when the realization came that I knew that I must receive Him as my personal Savior. And when I received Him, then my life changed. So now I'm looking at things in a different light, and I say to myself, how can someone not believe when we see the things around us? But the reason that we say that is because we're experiencing it. But we one day didn't say that. Or at least I give testimony that I did. So we must always put in perspective those around us. And I told you this story before, and I won't tell the whole thing, but it's been probably about 8 years now I was able to lead a 60, I think he was 60 or 65 year old man, to the Lord. And he made mention, he says, I've never been in church before. And it's like, what? There are people out there that have never stepped through the doors. And so when we praise the Lord and when we talk about the Lord and when we give testimony and when we look at things in a different light, they're kind of looking at you like you're crazy. And that gives us the opportunity to be a light to those individuals. That gives us the opportunity to tell them about Jesus Christ. Jesus, you know, in some aspects, we're reading about the trial of Jesus, but in some aspects, Jesus is on trial every day in a person's life. He's on trial every day. Behold the man. Who is this man? This morning's focus was the cross and the three on the cross. But let's think about the crowd for just a minute. Let's think of the preparation that took place before Calvary and before the cross. And what did they see? I begin by saying they see someone who was rejected. Rejected. Have you ever, and I started to get a show of hands of, and I decided not to, but have you ever met anyone famous or what you would consider being famous, somebody that is maybe known as a celebrity? And so when they make public appearances, they smile and you know, your fans and everything's good and they'll say thank you for being a fan or thank you for the support and those type of things. But have you ever seen them outside of the public realm? There was and I won't say who it was, but there was an individual that Darla and I saw, and we were at a restaurant in Oak Ridge. Don't think too hard; you'll probably figure out who it is. But there was an individual, and they were sitting there. And I promise you, if you went over just to spoke or got their autograph, I don't know what would have come out. I mean, they were like, you could get that look, get away from me kind of thing. And we sit right, you know, I can't remember how old Marshall was. Maybe 10, 11 or something like that. I don't remember. But we were sitting there and they were sitting at the table right across from us. And every once in a while, you know, I could see him going over there looking. And of course I was intentionally not looking, you know, and so it kind of changed the atmosphere. Everybody in the restaurant knew who this individual was, but nobody would, you wouldn't dare. His child, was using crayons and colored a coloring page. I hate this is on the internet, but because I might get in trouble, but they left it there. So when she got it, I grabbed it. And if his child's famous, we're going to have something worse. Marshall's got it somewhere in his room. I don't know. Get his child to autograph it sometime. But he was different. This individual was different. But yet he was famous. Our Savior was the same no matter whether he was in a small crowd or a big crowd. And that's the one we need to follow, is Jesus Christ. That's the one that we focus our attention on. Because I've mentioned before, when you start looking at man, you're going to see disappointments. And you're going to see some kind of artificial something that they have to offer. But what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ is not artificial, but it's true. Amen. And for every true thing that Jesus does and every truth that Jesus is, there's always going to be an artificial. And the religious leaders of those day, and I can tell you point blank, they did not like Jesus. They did not like Him. So what did they see? What did the crowd see when Pilate says, "Behold the man"? They saw someone that was being rejected. Rejected. John chapter 18, verse 39 and 40 says, "But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one," and this was Pilate asking this, "one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" And they chose Barabbas, verse 40. Then cried they again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber, so he was guilty. He was guilty of this punishment, and they chose to release him rather than release Jesus, and there was no fault found in Jesus. So when we see, or when we hear the words, "Behold the man," we're looking at someone that is rejected. They were willing to release someone that was guilty, that had committed a crime, and Jesus committed no crime. And they still rejected him. And there are people still rejecting the Lord Jesus today. They're rejecting him daily. There's no neutral ground. There's absolutely no neutral ground. You're either going to be for him or against him. There's no middle. There's no teeter-totter in the fence post. It's either for or against. And they were against Jesus. But at any time, Jesus could have put a stop to what was happening. At any time. "Behold the man." What do we see? We see a battered man. Verse 19 that I just read, or verse 1 of chapter 19. How that he was beaten and he was torn. And this was the abuse physically that he took. Jesus came to love the world, and the world hated him. Is it any different today? People are rejecting him every single day, and he still loves them. He was beaten. They saw someone that was mocked, and we read to you, I won't read these verses again, but he was mocked. Jesus was mocked in verses 2 and verse 3 of chapter 19. I'd just like to pause here just for a minute and remind every one of us that Jesus loves you. And Jesus came to die for you. And for that we praise Him. They made fun of Him and they mocked Him. Now when I was in school, that was the one thing that probably bothered me more than anything, was someone making fun. You know, that's probably some of the biggest hurts. Than, you know, I'd rather somebody get in a fight and because that'll heal. But when there's cruel things being said about an individual, that's some inner hurt. And how that they were being cruel to Jesus. They had beat him, and they had put the crown of thorns on top of his head, and they had mocked him. But those words that they were saying to him, are heartbreaking. Because he was so despised. But yet tonight, he's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of all of our praise. In the passage of Scripture that I think of is found in Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. And I'll read to you verse 3. "And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was the waste of this ointment made? Let me tell you something. Anything that you give to Jesus is not a waste. Anything, whether it be your time, your talent, any gift that you have, if you're doing it for the cause of Christ and for Jesus, it's not a waste. But yet even here, he was being rejected. And they were saying, they were bothered about what was taken, and it was hers. You know, that's what amazes me, is they were bothered because she chose to give, and they chose not. And it was hers to give. In reality, it was the Lord's to give back. The Bible says in verse 4, and there were some... I read that one in the indignation, but it says, for it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. So they were complaining, and there was chatter that was going on. But notice what Jesus says. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whenever you will, you may do them good. But me you have not always, and she hath done what she could, the Bible says. She anointed him. And I think of that act of worship that she did. You know, when we give our hearts to the Lord, anything we do for Him is a way that we praise Him. And it's an act of worship. You know, we talk about the rejection that the Scripture shares with us, and we talk about the rejection and those religious leaders that was rejecting Him, and they were crying, crucify Him. And even those that were complaining about Mary and how that she gave what she could, and she anointed Him. And I think about those things, but it really doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. But what matters is what the Lord thinks. In our life, that's what matters. It's what He thinks. And she chose the good part. And she worshiped Him. She took the opportunity that she had before her. And she worshiped. Sometimes we find ourselves to think about life sometimes and we say, well, you know, in just a few years I'm going to be able to do this or I'm going to be able to do that. Do you realize that now is the time to worship our Lord and not? I mean, I don't think we should ever be too busy to worship our Lord. We should never be too busy. There shouldn't be anything more important than spending time with our Lord. But yet, so many things pop up. And these individuals had the opportunity to set Jesus free, and we understand why He went to the cross, and we understand that that sacrifice had to be made for you and for me, and we understand that, but yet they still chose to reject Him. And they still chose a robber over Jesus Christ who committed no wrong. So we see a condemned man to die. He was condemned to die. Verses 6 and 7 that I read to you just a few moments ago, although there was no fault found in him, they took him and they wanted to crucify Jesus. I wonder why. You ever wonder why they wanted to crucify him so, why it was so important? Just a couple of thoughts came to my mind. And they were threatened by Jesus. They had this thing going. And they were threatened by Jesus Christ. They considered Jesus as being a problem. They considered him as being an outcast, but yet he was the one that came for you and for me and for them. He knew what was happening. He knew what, this wasn't something that was a surprise to him. He knew what was happening and what was going to happen. And the amazing part, when I stop and think about it, the amazing part in my mind was he knew all this was happening and he still came. He knew he was going to be rejected and he still came. Don't we have a wonderful Savior? Behold the man, Jesus, who left it all. He left heaven. Think about this. He left a robe of royalty to be wrapped in swaddling clothes. He left a soft bed to be laid in a manger of hay. He left a place of beauty to be born in a stable. There was no joyous reception, but only a few shepherds and a few wise men. And he still came. Behold the man. He owned the world, and he chose to have nothing. He had no home, but heaven was his home. He hungered, and yet he fed the 5,000. He thirsted, but yet he's the living water. He was despised, but yet he was a friend to sinners. He hated sin, but he became sin for us who knew no sin. What a Savior. He chose to die, but yet he was the giver of life. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible says, "In being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." He chose to die, but yet he's the giver of life, and he'll give life today if one would receive him. You see, in him is life. And that's really when a person really begins to live, is when they receive Jesus. But I close with these verses here, because although this was a time of rejection, and when we think of behold the man, and we understand that he was on trial, and we understand that they rejected him, and they cried, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, and they chose him to die on the cross rather than a robber, and they thought they were getting rid of him, and they pierced his side. And they nailed his feet and hands to the cross. We're thankful that the tomb was empty. But let me remind everyone of this verse here, of these verses in Philippians. Because when we think of behold the man, we need to be reminded. And those that continue to reject Jesus Christ needs to be reminded. The Bible says in verse 9 of Philippians chapter 2, "Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus," notice what it says, "every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." No matter what, He's going to be praised. Every knee should bow. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm grateful tonight because when I hear the words, "Behold the man," I don't think of the rejection, but I think of receiving Him. And that one day I received Him. And that brought a whole new meaning to the word in the name Jesus. Aren't you glad tonight? Thank God for Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for our time together tonight. And we just thank You. We know one day we rejected You. And You kept working on our hearts. And You kept tugging at us. And that we finally said yes to Jesus. And now, Lord, we look at things differently. We know that people are still rejecting. Help us, Lord, we pray. Help us to be a light and encouragement to other folks. Father, I pray that we never lose sight of, behold the man Christ Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins. And may we take time every day to worship and love and rejoice because of who You are. We ask, Lord, that You bless our invitation. Lord, if someone just wants to come down and say thank You for being patient with me, and I want to praise You, I invite them to come, Lord. And if there's someone in our midst that doesn't know Christ, whether it be online or whether it be here, Lord, I pray that they'll come and receive Jesus. Bless our invitation, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Mike, what number do you have for us?
308.
308. Won't you come? The altar's open.